Welcome to the Katagalan Project on Katagalan Media. This is your host, Chi Ting Ye. Here at the Katagalan Project, we are constantly on the lookout for people who are navigating across cultures, whether that be Ho Chi's efforts in organizing Taiwanese people in America, or Elizabeth's looking at the fine dining scene in Taiwan. Today, we have a guest offering up yet another perspective, this time as a Western foreigner living in Taiwan. Our guest today, Ben Gorin, is the author behind the popular blog Letters from Taiwan, where Ben reports on Taiwan's political scene and identity issues. He is originally from the UK and came to Taiwan as an English teacher, but has since then studied and worked in Taiwan. He has also contributed to University of Nottingham's China Policy Institute blog and others. Today we ask him about what it's like being a Westerner living in Taiwan, and just how he got into the fray of Taiwan's controversial political scene. We also talk shop about politics, just a little bit. Here's our interview. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up calling Taiwan your home. We know you've been working in Taiwan and then obviously writing and commenting on things going on in Taiwan. But just a little bit for background for our listeners, how did you end up in Taiwan in the first place?
Okay, well, first of all, I graduated with a teaching degree in England. And once I graduated, I did some part-time non-teaching related work. And at that time, I kind of needed a change of scene. So I had a look in the paper and saw an advert for teaching in Taiwan. So my entry was very similar to a lot of particularly European young people that come to Taiwan, is to teach English principally. And then after that, once I've been teaching for a while, for quite a good while, then I decided to do a master's degree at a public university in Taiwan. And at that point, I joined a local company for business in the medical sector.
I see. Wow. And in the beginning, how come it was, why choose Taiwan and not other cities like Shanghai, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Singapore?
It's a good question. For me, it was just a case of the roll of the dice in terms of the adverts that I saw at that time. I I had very little knowledge. I saw Japan, Nigeria, and Taiwan, and Japan seemed a bit more expensive because I was hoping to also save some money, and Nigeria didn't seem like a good fit, and so it was Taiwan, and I didn't really have a lot of knowledge of Taiwan when I first arrived at all. Why I chose Taiwan at the time was because the opportunity came up, but I think a lot of other people choose Taiwan because they know that it's quite a unique country, especially for young foreign visitors.
I see. And so you've sounds like you've done a lot of the things that I guess typically we would associate with at least Europeans or Americans going to Taiwan, teaching English, and then working for local companies. How is sort of, at least we're talking about these group of foreigners or immigrants, if you want to call them that, how are these people treated in Taiwan? Sort of, how is the, if I'm not born in Taiwan, I don't have any ties to Taiwan, and I go to Taiwan, what is the sort of business working environment like? Is it friendly to foreigners? What kind of obstacles did you have to face, applying for, as a student in Taiwan and then as a employee in Taiwan?
Oh, okay. Big question. Foreigners, I would say that different foreigners receive a different kind of experience in Taiwan. It's a broad rule. I think that a white European, North American, Australian, New Zealanders, South Africans, they tend to get a very, very good face of Taiwan, I think. They get to see all the best parts. They get to see how polite and hospitable people are in Taiwan. They get a lot of privileges, and they're treated, I think, and I'm part of this cohort. We're treated very, very well. I think if you're a migrant laborer from the Philippines or from Thailand or Indonesia working in Taiwan, I think there's a different experience there. And I've seen some cases of bad treatment and exploitation. So I would say that it does depend a little bit on who you are. For example, there's a couple of famous blogs written by African Americans who have lived in Taiwan and China, and their experience is very, very different. There's still, in many ways, a latent racism at play in Taiwan. So that's always a concern. As far as working and being a student, working is very, very convenient for foreigners to work here. I think the work environment is very hospitable in that respect. Again, it depends what work you're doing. If you're doing labouring on the construction site, less so. But if you're in schools, if you're in a business, then I'd say very much so. Being a student isn't that hard in terms of getting in and the organisation, the administration of getting into the course. And while you're there, I found the level of tuition to be satisfactory. So, and I don't think any less than you might find in similar universities. There's lots of opportunities for a lot of foreigners here who can come. If they want to stay, they can go and do further education. And that's how I did it, is by getting my master's degree, I could work in a private business.
Yeah, I definitely sort of hear what you're saying about the latent racism or sort of the different treatments between white European North Americans, versus Southeast Asian or African migrants or immigrants to Taiwan. I think that's definitely a topic that we would like to explore further. But just to change tracks a little bit, obviously we know you mostly from your blog, and you seem to have dived, headfirst into the world of Taiwan's controversial political scene, and you're definitely not afraid to admit your views, right? So how did your political views on Taiwan, how were they shaped, and what motivated your involvement in commentating on politics?
Gosh, that's a good question. I think I already came to Taiwan with a history training in being a teacher in politics and social science. So that's kind of my background, which kind of then explains why that when I came to Taiwan, I started obviously watching and reading newspapers every day and trying to catch up with the news. And after about 5 years or so, I decided, why not write a letter to the Taipei Times? And it got published. And I thought, wow, okay, I can maybe contribute a little bit here.
And just to ask, what was the letter about? Sort of what was it that made you think, hey, I need to write a letter and tell these people what I think?
Okay, I couldn't precisely remember exactly what the letter is about, my first one. But I think first of all, Taipei Times and there are other newspapers, the China Post, for example, that allow letters to be submitted. And I've seen other foreigners submit letters. And there was an opportunity, I thought, where you could actually contribute to the national conversation. Whereas if you live in a bigger country, I think, like the US or Canada, and you wrote to a similar sized newspaper, maybe it would be a provincial or state level newspaper, you might not have the same impact. So I thought in Taiwan, because it's so small, in a way it's easy if you're a close observer, and you pay attention, you see the same names come up again and again. And it's easy to get a handle, I think, a little bit more quickly on some of the key core issues and issues that are going on in Taiwanese politics. So, I think what motivated me was to just contribute to the discussion as a whole.
I see. That is very interesting. I mean, because coming from an immigrant family, coming from Taiwan to the United States, I don't know that many people in that community, sort of the Taiwanese Americans, you know, at least the first generation community, being that active in U.S. politics. So I think that kind of that's at least a little bit of interest to me. Having done this for some time now, you obviously met a lot of other foreigners or expats, also living in Taiwan and also commentating and voicing their opinions on Taiwan's politics. How would you describe this sort of community of foreign, I guess, watchers of Taiwan's politics, and maybe why, you know, there's a great number of you guys that are sort of often share the same views or have similar views on Taiwan's politics as yours?
Okay, I think there are, I would say, I think you're right in saying there's an eclectic bunch of okay. Foreigners who take a more active interest in Taiwanese politics. According to the law, foreigners are restricted from carrying out any kind of overt political activities, like speaking at rallies, for example.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, strictly speaking. But at the moment, there is still a relatively very free online and media environment in Taiwan. So, I've lost it there. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I lost the second part. What was the second part?
What is this community like? This eclectic bunch, I guess why that, you know, a lot of them seem to share similar views as you do.
Right. Okay. Yes. I would say that of the total number of foreigners that come here, the ones that take a direct interest and you see their names again and again, including mine, are a very small percentage. I think most foreigners come here and they do not have an opinion or express an opinion for a variety of reasons, which are obvious. Many of them are not there for a long time. I think the people that do comment regularly, and you see them in the newspapers and on the blogs, and that they've been here a long time. And I'd say, I think, yes, there is a partisan divide to that. I'd say the largest number of active bloggers or commentators, as expats here, are pro-pan-green, broadly speaking, pro-Taiwan, pro-DPP. That's very, again, that varies from more neutral people to very, very kind of deep Taiwan independence advocates. And I'm kind of like, I think I'm probably halfway with my blog, I'm probably halfway along that line somewhere, you know. So I think there are other bloggers who, they all fill a kind of a niche. And we are, like I say, eclectic. So some take a more persistent and aggressive, or not aggressive, persistent and active approach, and others try and balance things up a bit more. So
I see. And of course, a lot of you guys definitely listen to this podcast, or at least I think you guys do. So just want to say hi to all of you eclectic people out there. So I'm a little curious, because I mean, it's not my own perspective, but what would you say are the differences between, you know, first of all, if you're Taiwanese, grew up in Taiwan, you know, you looking at Taiwanese politics as, well, this is just my politics, versus, you know, you're looking at Taiwan's politics as a foreigner, or quote-unquote foreigner, living in Taiwan. And, you know, somebody like maybe people that we know in the States looking at Taiwan's politics living outside of Taiwan. What do you think might be the differences in the perspectives, and maybe why the differences?
Wow. Okay, that's a big question. I think Taiwanese living in Taiwan, and foreigners will have the biggest disparity between those two. I think foreigners, we're not, unless you're 100% fluent and completely immersed in the environment, it's very hard to understand exactly how Taiwanese look at Taiwan's politics. because there's so many different shades to it. As a foreigner, we have kind of filters. There's linguistic barriers and there's cultural barriers that that shape the way that we perceive what's going on. So when I write things on my blog, I'm not really writing with full information, because I can only write with so much of the information that's really out there. A Taiwanese scholar or a Taiwanese blogger, for example, will be able to draw on vastly greater amount of information and nuance in their analysis. So also they're invested. Taiwanese are invested. This is their country and they live here permanently. They have no green card or get out of jail card that they can use if they think it's not going to go well. So that will obviously change their opinion, influence their opinion. As for people living outside of Taiwan, looking at Taiwanese politics, it depends who's looking. Because when you consider analysts, maybe on the Beltway, or security specialists, they're going to look at Taiwan perhaps as a smaller part of a bigger geostrategic competition. And they're not going to think that on the ground issues have as much importance. Whereas I think if you're here, living here, you see the impact of the on the ground changes that are happening as a result of what the government does.
I see. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because, I mean, I grew up in the States for, I guess, 2/3 of my life. And, it was not until I am in the United States that I started paying attention to politics in Taiwan. And then through that, I met some friends who, grew up and lives in Taiwan. They said, some people don't appreciate you guys, meaning us from the States, sort of, telling us what we should do or saying how we should vote this way or that. You guys don't even live here. So I thought that was kind of an interesting, interesting, I don't know if it's criticism or interesting view that some people might have. And sometimes I tell them, hey, it's not necessarily that somebody who's on the outside looking in might not know what's going on, right? Because sometimes it's easier to see certain things when you're on the outside. But
absolutely. I think you're absolutely right there. I think and Taiwanese the people that I've come in contact with that are active in various movements or parties have always actually taken the time to listen and ask our ideas. So. And that's unique and special about Taiwan as a country too. So the fact that you can get that close and that people are willing to listen. I think, of course, there are always going to be some people who say, listen, you're a foreigner in a foreign country. You should mind your own business. And I can understand that, absolutely. At the end of the day, I have to take responsibility if I cross a line or I've upset people that, from what I've said, they have every right to question and say, really, you should let Taiwanese make their own decision. And I think they have to make their own decision, absolutely. And it's funny you should say the influence on Taiwanese politics. There's a lot of influence, I think, from outside, but it's not usually, I don't think the greatest influence is from people like you and me. I think the greatest influence is from governments like the US government and the Chinese government and Japanese government, so if we weigh it up like that, we can say, well, what are we just doing? We're just adding a voice through, being active citizens, that's all. We're just contributing our opinion.
Sure, yeah. Obviously we would love to be as influential as the US or the Chinese government at some point, but at this point, right, we're you're supplying an opinion from a different perspective. Some other people are doing the same, and I believe that it just makes things just having more opinions and not less makes the picture more full, right? Versus being narrow to a certain way of looking at things.
Absolutely, and just recently there was a new publication called Thinking Taiwan, It's an online media site, which has been partly founded by J. Michael Cole. And he's done a fantastic job in putting together a group of very interesting writers. And he has stated on his blog how keen he is to make this an independent voice. And I think that's going to be a huge contribution as well. In a sense, you could say there are quite a few of me and letters from Taiwan in the blogosphere in Taiwan. And there are also those foreigners who take a very strongly dissenting voice from the other side too. But it's nice to have a new publication coming out that can reach out to the international audience and provide information on Taiwan a little bit outside of, a bit more formally than a blog would be, like my blog, for example. So I think that Taiwanese, and there's Taiwanese working on that project too. So that's an important collaboration. And I think that just makes Taiwan's democracy a little bit stronger.
Sure, yeah. And obviously, that's also what we're trying to do as well, provide insights into culture and not just politics, but culture and history on Taiwan as well. Just sort of a last question. You said on your blog that you believe Taiwan is geographically and politically situated at an important juncture of political hegemonic struggle. So what does that mean, and especially for the future of Taiwan going forward?
Right. Well, it's quite a mouthful, isn't it? I apologize for that. I'm just going to quickly look at that again, and so I can answer your question more specifically. I think, broadly speaking, though, the more I learned when I lived in Taiwan, the more I saw the way the country interacted with the countries around it, the way that its position was so important in terms of US and Chinese relations, Taiwan-Japan relations, Taiwan-China relations. Taiwan was this kind of nexus of the crossing point between the big power aspirations of the United States in the Western Pacific, and of course China in the seas around its shoreline. So, and Taiwan was playing a very, very interesting point as a kind of a pivot, not the one announced by the Obama administration recently, but as a kind of a fulcrum for regional hegemonic aspirations between the US and China. So, and of course, the history of Taiwan with its occupations and its colonization, constant colonization, and its you could say incomplete democratization, means that there are a lot of issues here that are very much unresolved, which is why at the top of my blog I say Notes from a Contingent Nation. Because although the government would have you say that, no, this is the Republic of China on Taiwan, or just brackets Taiwan, that is one way of looking at Taiwan. And not all Taiwanese look at it that way. And there's a sizable minority, I think, somewhere between 30-40% that are hoping that there can be some kind of completed transitional justice for the White Terror period, and some form of decolonization, or maybe perhaps a reversing of the current administration's pro-China policies.
I see. Yeah, it's I mean, I think it's interesting you mentioned the history of Taiwan's repeated colonialization by all different powers throughout history, and then right now it seems like it's just the beginning of this decolonization / asserting Taiwan for itself, but then it's still caught in this hegemonic struggle between China, US, and Japan and Southeast Asia. So I mean it's definitely very I don't think the word interesting even begins to describe it, right? So
it's a puzzle. It's a very, very delicate puzzle too, because nobody wants to move too quickly and nobody can move too quickly. A lot of people are very invested in Taiwan being in a certain way or going in a certain direction. And at the moment, given the recent protests, it seems to be a new energy that has kind of erupted along with the 318 movement and the anti-nuclear protests. That might have a very significant impact on the elections. And then if the elections go very badly for the ruling party, for example, that may happen, although it's unlikely. If they go very badly, that could also produce a kind of a knock-on effect of other changes, significant changes. So it's never a dull moment, absolutely, never a dull moment.
And finally, do you have any sort of future plans to stay in Taiwan further or to be involved in Taiwan's political scene in some other way? Or what are you thinking for the upcoming few years or beyond?
Okay. Well, at the moment, I'm very fortunate to have a very good job. And that allows me to do a bit of blogging on the side. And I think that will continue, and I want to write more articles, more kind of lengthy articles for other sources. And I think the blogging as the election approaches, because we're in May now, we only have 4 or 5 months before the mayoral elections. And that's going to be a very, very busy time with lots of news. So the pace of news is picking up and it's been quite high. So I hope to keep on top of that and hopefully provide a bit more of a balanced perspective where I've been a bit partisan in the past. So I think I'm going to try and be a bit more balanced so that perhaps new readers in North America can get the chance to make their own opinion.
So I think we're all out of time right now. So Ben, thank you so much for taking your time out this evening to talk to us.
And thank you very much for having me on and asking me some very interesting questions, Tim.
No problem. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Kadagalam Project on Kadagalam Media. This is your host, Chi-Ting Ye. For more in-depth interviews, find us on our website at www.kadagalanmedia.com. That's KetaGalanmedia.com. Thanks for listening, and tune in next time.